Hey guys, Miggy here, and I'm really excited today to have an awesome and unique guest on this channel because I've been literally following his videos, listening to him while I'm doing renovations here, and just his content literally blew me away. He's like one of the freshest, most exciting and most unique MGTOW slash Red Pill content makers out there. So his name is Itachi, but he also goes by a few other different nicknames like Karuma. So I just want to head the microphone over to you and just explain the whole situation behind your names, your background, how you found MGTOW, and yeah.
All right. Well, you know, before I get started, I'll do my introduction. It goes, hey, everyone, Itachi here. Today's video is brought to you by MGTOW 101. And cheers. No, but so I'm sorry. What was the question again?
So you have quite a few different nicknames. So if you could let the audience know what exactly happened and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, well, if you guys know anything about me, I'm kind of indecisive. I kind of change my mind a lot. So my very first name on my channel was Karama MGTOW, right? And these are all anime characters. And then about, you know, 2 months later, I'm like, you know what? Nah, I want to try Hiei MGTOW. That's another anime character from this anime show called Yu Yu Hakusho that they're based off of. And then about a week after that, I'm like, nah, I feel more like a Naruto character. We're going to go with Itachi MGTOW. And then after that, I'm like, you know, I don't really want to put the word MGTOW in my name anymore because I want to reach more audiences instead of just MGTOW. So we'll just make it Itachi Uchiha. And then after that, my channel got hacked. So now my username is like, it's like the letter D, like D-E-E-E-D-D, some shit like that. Someone hacked it. And then I dropped the MGTOW label altogether because I stopped being a MGTOW. I'm still a red pill man. I just don't like the direction MGTOW is going, and I don't like the new wave of men in MGTOW. So I kind of gave them the finger and just became Itachi Reloaded. And that's my new channel, Itachi Reloaded. Kind of like the Matrix Reloaded. And there we are. That's where we are now, you know?
Nice, exactly. So, and regarding MGTOW itself and the whole red pill experience, what made you find this unique way of life? What made you actually turn to the dark side, more or less, and just ditch the regular, you know, lifestyle that blue pill seems out there enjoy?
Yeah, so I think, and I've never told anyone this, I was planning on saving this for a video, but you know what, I think this is a special occasion. I think, you know, since we're on a live stream, I've never actually been completely blue pill. Like, I would say I was maybe born purple pill at the worst. I remember my very first crush was this girl in the fifth grade. And she was like smoking hot and she was into me and or whatever, but I could see her manipulations. I was like 10 or 11 years old. I could see her manipulate, and I've never slept with a girl, I've never kissed a girl, anything, you know, and I could see her manipulations. Like, she would knock her books off her desk to try to get me to pick them up for her. And like the first time she did it, I picked them up and put them on her desk. And then she knocked it over again like a minute later, and I looked at her and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what is your fucking problem? And she was like mind blown that I like saw through her little game, because she wanted to see how many times she could get me to like pick her shit up. And after that, I'm like, you know what, this is, you're just like a manipulative bitch. And I remember like knowing this at like 11 years old, 10 years old. Yeah. I could always just see female nature for what it is. I think a lot of the reason why I could see female nature for what it is because my mom treated me so much better than these American, because I'm not American, right? I'm Middle Eastern. I'm Lebanese. So my mom is old school Middle Eastern, right? She treated me so much better than these American women treat their men. So like my standards are just higher. So like when I see girls playing their little manipulative games, I'm like, this isn't right. Like, I want a woman that treats me as good as my mother treated me. Like, my mom treats me like a fucking god. She does whatever I want. We have a mutual respect. It's great. It's the greatest thing ever. And I want a woman that I'm dating to have that same respect for me and sort of see the value in me being a man and give me that. But when you see these American girls who play these manipulative games and talk shit to their men, you can tell they don't appreciate their men. And a man like me, coming from my background, that's a huge turnoff. So I was always able to see that from a very young age. And I've only maybe had like two or three real girlfriends. The rest have been pump and dump, hookup type shit. But the longest relationship I've ever been in was like 8 months. I don't know. I have zero tolerance for American women. I just don't give a fuck because I'm just used to so much better. And I know I can go overseas and find a Middle Eastern girl one day that has values and respects me for being a man and will actually treat me much better than American women do. Not saying I even want to do that. I don't even think I want that. But it's like, it's hard to get excited about like a cheeseburger when you've had filet mignon your whole life, you know?
That's very true. I mean, and you're still a young guy. It's everything's ahead of you. So it's great that you actually found this so early on because you're in your mid-20s. And there's, you know, the whole world's for the taking because you don't have to stay in America. You can go overseas. You can go to Middle East. You can go to Southeast Asia, anywhere, or Eastern Europe. There's so many other places where this whole, you know, feminist agenda is not even in the picture. It's, I mean, things might change later on in the future, but as long as it's the way it is now, and I don't think it's very easy to brainwash people that know the real world like they do in Middle East and Eastern Europe and Southeast Asia, because the people that live there, they don't follow the whole, well, I'm a victim mentality. It's a Western concept. That's how it is. If you go there and you try and get people to feel sorry for you, they're just going to laugh in your face and that's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny, man. I was actually in Dubai back in November. I was in the UAE. And the men over there, they don't give a shit. Like, they just do whatever they want. They don't care about feminism or equal rights. They run the whole show. And their women are very docile and submissive. I'd be walking through a shopping mall in Dubai, right? You see so many happily married couples, you know, husband, wife, their two kids. The wife is wearing her headscarf, you know, her hijab or whatever. And I didn't see a single woman raise her voice to her husband. I didn't see a single altercation in public or like men and women bickering or like guys running up trying to catcall. Like, even the men that didn't have women in the Middle East, we're not running up to random women like, hey, baby, let me get your number. Oh, what's up, girl? Oh, that ass is so fat. Like, I didn't see any, like, everyone had sort of a discipline and a mutual respect, and they had boundaries and borders. You didn't see all the scandalous stuff you see in America or like you see in the UK or in Australia in the Western world. You know, people just had a level of class that you don't see anywhere else.
No, exactly. They know women, for example, in Middle East, they know how to dress and how to act accordingly. They are following their, you know, traditions, and as well as, I mean, many countries in the Middle East have Sharia law. So if they wear something provocative, they know that they'll feel the full brunt of the of the law there. That's the way it is. But so it's interesting. And I mean, because you are red pill and going your own way, what's happened around you, like as far as your friends and family, what kind of impact has that had on your life personally?
You know, the funny thing, it hasn't affected me the way it affects most guys, because the kind of guys I hang around, and I don't know why this is, and it's funny, my mom would always tell me this as a kid. She's like, you always attract like thugs and gangsters into your life. Like, all my friends are gangsters. All my friends are like drug dealers, or they rob people, or they've done crazy shit. So those kind of people are naturally red pill from birth, because they don't even really care about their freedom. So they're not really going to care about a woman either. Now, I don't know why I seem to attract these kind of people in my life, and they're cool, they're down to earth, but they're even more red pill than I am, and they've never even heard of MGTOW. They've got three or four women in rotation. They got this girl paying their light bill. They got this girl paying their car note. They use women like crazy, like on levels I've never even been able to comprehend. So I don't know. I've had a very different experience from the average sort of red pill guy.
Okay, so you didn't really have to adjust much because it's all
not really. Not really. No.
No worries. Sounds good. Sounds good. So what? And actually, what blew me away about the way the first how I found your channel was, you know, it was only literally about a week ago, and you've been making videos for a while now, but because there are so many new MGTOW channels, it's hard to sift through to see which ones are good, which ones are not. But that video, I forgot the title of it, but you were talking about how MGTOW is going in the wrong direction, and you're sick of the whole bullshit and bickering and the way men are presenting themselves. It's it just blew me away. I've literally sent it to all my friends. I go, man, check this out. This guy is spot on. So what made you want to record that video and actually publish it?
You know, what it was I was trying to take this in a more positive direction. I was uploading videos on nutrition. I was doing live streams with other MGTOW content creators. And every time I would talk about an idea that is not strictly shitting on bitches, pardon my French, they just didn't want to hear it. Even the MGTOW content creators, I'm not trying to throw any of their, throw them under the bus by using their names. Yep. But anytime I was like, yo, we need to create a super group within MGTOW of like the best of the best men that all have, you know, political connections or are in high places that can elevate us and show us new opportunities. I was trying to network. I was trying to, you know, the same way people in power do. You have secret societies. You have people who are in control. They use each other's connections. They use each other's opportunities to help lift each other up. I was trying to start something like that within MGTOW. And for the most part, the content creators and the subscribers were just rejecting the, like, no, the best information should be free. You should want to give it to me for free. You should want to help me for free. And I'm like, no, I'm not helping you for free, because I had to go through, like, I had to grind to learn this information. I had to lose, like, blood, sweat, and tears to learn this information that I used to create these videos for you. So you know what? No, I'm not giving it away for free. I have much better information that I'm gonna hold out for people of value. I'm not gonna just cast my pearls among swine. So that was the first thing that pissed them off.
Yep.
The second thing was when I started trying to take it into the nutrition direction, like me and you are doing. They were like, no, I want to keep eating meat. I like smoking dope. I like drinking beer. And I told them, I'm like, look, bro, what's the point in going MGTOW if all the money you saved by not dealing with women, you're going to spend it on medical bills? Really, what's the difference then? You know, if you're going to eat yourself into a food coma and be on a lower level consciously, because when you eat certain foods, you cannot think on a certain level, so you're really hardly better than a blue pill man. You're just a blue pill man that still has bad habits, still eats shit, still just sits around and plays video games. You just don't fuck with women as much.
Yep.
You're really not much better, in my opinion.
Exactly, exactly. Well, it's true. You know, you lower your vibrations when you engage in substance abuse or eating junk food, watching crappy TV shows, all that kind of stuff. It just... it literally affects the way you think, the way you function, and it makes people depressed and just feel like life is not worth living. So that's what a lot of men out there experience.
Oh, yeah. So
that's absolutely true. And the other thing you mentioned is, why should we give away all this information for free? It's true. I mean, I've spent so many countless nights staying up the entire night creating, editing, and making these videos as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my content, I actually borrow it from others, so it's not my original work, but to put all those memes and to edit, make all these edits, it takes hours and hours of work. And that's what people don't understand in the background. You know what I mean? And even for yourself, I guess if you're recording things, sometimes you just record yourself and think, what the hell was I just saying? Nah, I got to re-record the whole thing, because you can do it on the fly anyway. So people don't see the blood, sweat, and tears that we put behind our... you know, our content. I've lost a job a couple of years ago because I was staying up all night creating videos and I was rocking up to work literally an hour late, and my boss didn't like it, so they had to let me go.
Wow.
And then I got hit with demonetization, and then I stuffed up my shoulder, and that wasn't a good time for me. And that's it. But yeah, that's how it is. And I mean, I don't know. Do you know David D'Angelo, the dating guru guy in the past? Yeah,
he wrote the book The Game, I think, right?
W Dating, yeah.
Okay.
No, that was Neil Strauss.
Neil Strauss, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So David D'Angelo, that's his pseudonym. What was his name? shit, I forgot his name, his real name, Ibn Pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a great marketer. So what he was saying is when people are trying to market their products, whether it's you know, some type of a book or some other self-help course, he goes, give away your best information for free. Because when people see that your information is so good, they're much more likely to come around and actually pay you money to get all the rest of your stuff. So that's an interesting thing I got out of his teachings. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Something we can talk about later on. But yeah, look, the whole reason for this podcast tonight is I actually want to talk to you about a topic that not many MGTOW or Red Pill content creators talk about in general at all. It's diet and food and health, especially for men who often neglect their health. They don't go to the doctor. Not that the doctor is a great place to go to for health anyway these days.
But, no, they're useless.
Yeah, let's face it. Women live a lot longer than men, and it's for a reason, because they tend to not abuse their bodies. They tend to watch what they eat, more or less.
They're used to, at least.
Yeah, it kind of hit home when I heard you speaking about the whole plant-based nutrition, aka vegetarian diets, aka veganism. And actually, veganism is a bit different to plant-based diets, because you can be plant-based eater, but you don't have to be a vegan. So that's it.
Right.
That's it.
That's true.
So, yeah. So how did you come about? Because, I mean, you're still a young guy. When I was your age, I'm in my late 30s. I literally got into plant-based nutrition roughly back in 2013. Mm-hmm. So, and I was kind of dabbling with it. I was reading about low carb, high carb, low fat, high fat, all these different diets, and then I just wanted to see what actually makes a difference to me, because everyone's got a different unique body, so we respond differently to whatever we put inside our mouth. So how did you come about to learn all these things about plant-based nutrition? What was the difference between, for example, not going ketogenic or low carb? What made you choose the whole plant-based vegan type of approach to nutrition?
Okay, so just so you know, I am what's called an alkaline vegan right now. Now, that is a word I believe coined by Dr. Savy, who is a mentor who I listen to a lot. He's all over the internet. Basically, an alkaline vegan is not just a regular vegan. See, a regular vegan still eats sugar, still eats starches, artificial starches, like, you know, white bread, stuff like that, stuff that was made in a laboratory, stuff that was genetically altered. Mm. An alkaline vegan only eats a very select group of fruits, vegetables, grains, no artificial sugars. See, there are even fruits and vegetables that are called hybrid vegetables. Mm. For example, a carrot is a hybrid vegetable. It is yarrow mixed with yams in a laboratory to make the carrot. The carrot doesn't have a seed. The carrot cannot be just planted and grow out of the ground. The carrot was genetically altered in a laboratory. So just because you're a vegan, and that makes it acidic, by the way. Mm. Alkaline foods have a pH above 7, right? Acidic foods have a pH below 7. Mm. But it goes so much deeper than you think. I started off vegetarian, right? But I still had health problems. So I started off vegan, still had some few health problems. I went all the way alkaline vegan, which is the highest level you can go to. Now I'm starting to have no problems whatsoever. Mm. Because just because you're eating certain fruits and vegetables doesn't mean that they were there at the beginning of time. See, if you listen to Dr. Sabi, he talks about how we were only meant to eat food that perfectly aligns with our cellular structure, right? Mm. So if you take, and because they have electricity and oxygen in them, which oxygenates the cells to create life and to, you know, help purge out disease and sickness from within you. But if you take, for example, like I used with the carrot, if you take yarrow and yams and in a laboratory and turn it into a carrot, it is now missing certain parts of its cellular structure. It is now an incomplete vegetable. So when you eat an incomplete vegetable, not only is it going to be acidic, it's going to be missing nutrients that were taken out of it when it was combined by two other things, right? So much of what we eat is artificial, and even things we think are natural, things like broccoli, things like carrots, things like seedless fruit, like seedless watermelon, was actually made in a laboratory. It's acidic, it's not natural, and it's missing its complete cellular structure, that so it doesn't align perfectly with your body. So that's why I really started going as extreme as I did, because we were only meant to eat. Everything we needed to survive in life was given to us, you know, at the beginning of time. Yep. All the natural foods, all the natural herbs, they grew out of the ground. If you notice, everything technology seems to do seems to push us in a more unnatural direction that's farther from who we are and seems to isolate us more and make us more miserable. Mm. I'd say the only exception is if you break an arm or a leg, yeah, you can go to the hospital and get your leg put back together and get stitched up. But other than that, other than that, hospitals are pretty much useless. The chemicals they inject you with are not good for you. There are natural solutions to all of these health problems, right? God didn't put us in here unequipped. God prepared us for life and for death, to live a full life. You don't need vaccinations and chemical shots and to be eating flesh. And people like to argue, oh, no, meat is natural. We're omnivores. We were meant to eat meat and plants. That's not true. Because when you eat flesh, it doesn't break down. It rots in your intestines. And the acidity, especially red meat, it literally rips your joints and your tendons apart. That's why people get the gout or arthritis, right? Like my dad, for example, he has the gout in both of his ankles. He loves to eat red meat. But the acidity from that red meat is tearing away the muscles in his legs, and he can barely walk now. That's that's not natural, right? If humans were meant to eat meat, we would have long teeth like saber-toothed tigers, and we would be able to chase down a gazelle and bite right into it and rip it apart. The fact that we're not fast enough to catch a gazelle, number one. Number two, if you run up to a wild animal and try to bite into it, your teeth are going to break off. If you run up to like a zebra and really try to bite into it, your teeth are going to break. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough to dig into an animal like that and eat it. Your teeth are flat for the most part. You have some that are slightly pointy, but that's so that you can crack a nut open or crack open a berry or something, or like a hard vegetable. Exactly. You're not meant to be running up to animals and eating them. We had to create technology like forks and knives and saws to cut up these animals. None of it's natural. And when you eat natural food, you're not going to have any health problems. You can't overdose on kale. You can't overdose on Irish sea moss, which is an herb. You can't overdose on that, you know, because it's natural. It aligns with your structure. It is an alkaline food. It is complete on a cellular level.
Exactly. I mean, you look at that's the great point. And I mean, you look at the human physiology. Look at our hands, for example. Look at our fingernails. It's designed to grab plants, seeds, fruits. We don't have the capacity, like a cat, to kind of claw into flesh and sort of just drag it. Well, if you look at our teeth as well, it's clearly looks more closer resembling a horse's mouth,
right,
as opposed to a cat's or a lion's or a dog's mouth. And the other thing is our intestines are very, very long. It's pretty much more similar to, like you said, a gazelle or a horse compared to a cat, whose intestines are very, very short. And it's because they also don't have any pockets inside their intestines, so they don't trap any of the meat, and it just comes in. And you know, the cat eats the meat, it's out of the system within literally 8 to 10 hours.
Absolutely.
With humans, it sits and putrefies, and you know, you can stay there for days.
Why do you think humans get constipated all the time? Because they're eating all this hard flesh that their body cannot push out. Just like you said, the intestines are so much longer, right? They were meant to have very soft, easy to break down food like vegetables, berries, water that moves through those long intestines without problems. You eat a lot of meat, you eat a lot of fish, it clogs up your intestines. Now you're constipated. Now you have this dead flesh and parasites rotting in your stomach for a week or two. That's not natural, you know?
Exactly.
Fish either. We're not meant to eat fish either. Fish rots in your intestines the same way meat does. And the thing is, if we were meant to eat fish, how come we can't catch one naturally? You see those birds that swoop down into the water and they come out with a fish every time? How come we couldn't do that until we invented spears and fishing rods? You can't just jump into the ocean with your bare hands and catch a fish, can you?
Mm, exactly. See, the thing is, this is the great thing about being a human being, is because we can make it whatever God and nature presents us with. So if there is famine, people will easily get by on eating meat, and they can survive, but they will not thrive. So they will live until probably 50, 60, maybe 70 years old, but they will not thrive. They will get gout, like you said. They will get arthritis.
Cancer.
They will get cancer. They will get all sorts of different autoimmune diseases.
So, absolutely.
But if you look at countries, for example, and this is what I do personally. If I want to find out the real truth, I look at the real world results. So I look at, for example, countries where they consume plant-based foods, and then I look at how long they live. So, for example, Okinawa, Japan, they have the most centenarians in the world. So people that are past 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And what they eat is predominantly, it's about 90% plant-based nutrition. So a lot of sweet potatoes, rice, all those sea vegetables, regular vegetables, fruits. But they also have about 10% animal protein. So mainly from, I believe it's from pork and seafood. So, but at the same time, because I mean, the biggest issue with veganism for myself is sticking to it long-term, or plant-based nutrition. So a lot of people try and sort of like adopt these different diets, and then they give up after like a few months or a year or even 5 or 10 years. So you got to find something that you can do for the rest of your life. And I think the whole Okinawan approach to it makes perfect sense, because I've been vegan for around about 2 years, and I had no problems continuing, but like the family and friends kind of made it difficult, because whatever they were cooking, it kind of became always an issue, just arguments, all that kind of stuff. So I decided to include a little bit of poultry, like a little bit of lean chicken, and a little bit of seafood from time to time. So I still feel good.
You know, if you want the answer to your problem, because you were saying it's hard to stay vegan, the reason why is because most people don't take herbs. See, you weren't meant just to eat vegetables and fruits. You were meant to have the herbs, right? And I'm not a religious person, but I believe in the Bible it says the herbs are for the healing of the nations, right? So in this Western world, they don't teach you anything about herbs. They don't teach you about sea moss. They don't teach you about burdock root. They don't teach you about bladder wrack, right? Yeah. These are the herbs you're supposed to be taking side by side with your vegan diet to fill in all the voids nutritionally that you are getting from not eating, you know, meat or whatever. You eat, for example, I took some sea moss this morning. You can make it in a tea. I took it in capsules. That gave me so much energy. I haven't ate real food in 5 days. Well, you know, like I haven't ate anything solid in 5 days. I've been taking sea moss. This stuff has every nutrient, every mineral in it except iron. So I take that combined with burdock root, which has iron. These two herbs alone give me a complete diet. Now, this is I'm only doing this by itself because, like I said, I'm doing a water fast. But if you're eating a vegan diet and taking the right herbs, like these ones that I mentioned, you won't even crave meat anymore, because you're more than getting all the nutrition you need. But no one ever told you about the herbs. That's the difference, you know?
I think that's absolutely true, because the holistic medicine, it's been pushed out the window by allopathic medicine.
The pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, pharmaceutical, the drugs, the surgery, cut, slash, and burn for when people get cancer and all these other autoimmune diseases.
Yeah.
So it's, and it doesn't make any money as well. So there's no money in selling herbs.
Right. You can't patent it.
Yeah,
exactly. You can't patent it.
Exactly.
But it works, and it's so much easier, and there's less suffering. You don't have to get chemotherapy. I mean, bro, you can go on Google right now. There are people that are curing their own leukemia with wheatgrass. They just blend wheatgrass in a blender and drink it. The doctor tells them, oh, you have 6 months to live. If you don't get this chemotherapy, you're going to die. They say, you know what? Screw it. I'm not getting the chemo. They go home, and they blend wheatgrass and drink it, and they cure themselves of their stage 4 cancer, their stage 3 cancer, whatever. You know? No chemo, no pills. Naturally, everything you need to heal yourself was put on Earth with you.
Well, that's exactly true. Everything we need is right here with us. It's so true. And I mean, the reason why they try and get people, because when a person's diagnosed with cancer, the first thing that the doctor does is they want to urgently push chemo or some kind of radiation therapy or even surgery. And that's because once they get you into the door, it's very hard to get out. Even if you start doing holistic treatments after the chemo, your chances of recovery are very slim, because once you damage your immune system with chemotherapy or radiation, it's a downward slope from there onwards.
Very true. Very true. And that's the thing. In modern medicine and Western medicine, the money is in the treatment, not the cure. So they make more money treating you, masking the symptoms with pills and chemotherapy or whatever. Meanwhile, you're actually getting more sick, which means now you have to take more pills. And it's just a never-ending cycle, slowly breaking you down and charging you more money.
Well, exactly. It's an industry. I mean, it's based around money. It's like pharmaceutical companies are not there to promote health.
No.
They're there to sell a product, which is drugs. And they have to make sure that their shareholders are happy at the end of the day. So, and it's like you mentioned before, there are times when you do need to go to a hospital and you do need to take drugs for pain or to be anesthetized.
In extreme situations, exactly. Yes, but not the rest of the time.
Yeah, to be put to sleep because they need to perform a surgery on a broken leg.
Yeah, so you got a car accident. Yeah, you know, surgery, sure, you know, anesthesia, but not taking pills every day for the rest of your life. No.
Exactly. It's the most important part is whatever you do every day, that's what makes the biggest difference to your health. So if you're taking some pills every day, some drugs, then that's going to have a massive impact on your health long term, and it's obviously going to make a person sick long term as well. So, and the thing is, a lot of like blokey blokes out there, when you start talking to them about a plant-based diet or vegan diet or vegetarian diet, they'll go, nah, man, you need to eat meat because you need to get protein, bro. You're going to die from not having any protein. And you need to get testosterone from meat. You can only get testosterone from red meat and eggs and dairy.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. That actually makes your testosterone worse, eating meat and dairy. And you actually don't need protein. You need iron. Iron is actually the natural sort of, I don't know if you call it mineral or whatever, that you need. It's not protein. Protein is new age bullshit.
It's funny because they keep saying, hey, you need protein. And then they talk about how in Africa, all these little kids are dying from starvation. But it's not because they're lacking protein. It's because they're lacking food altogether. So you can easily get enough protein to sustain your body from fruits and vegetables. There's no doubt about it. Like those guys, for example, gladiators, Roman gladiators, these big-ass tough guys, they were basically eating a vegetarian diet.
Right.
So
yeah, they didn't have slaughterhouses to cut up cows and shit. How were they?
Exactly. Yeah. Because the people that were eating the most meat and animal products in the olden days, when I say olden days, I mean like, you know, 1400, 1000, you know, AD or or even before that. The kings and queens were eating animal products, and they were always usually chubby, fat, and you could see it, you know, in the olden movies. And just look at the king and the queen, they're usually quite chubby, especially when they're in their older age. So whereas the peasants were eating, you know, potatoes, they were eating some kind of buckwheat or wheat or all that kind of stuff. Or see, grains have built, civilizations were built on grains. You could not have Rome and all those other great civilizations built on meat. It just would not be sustainable, and it just it would not happen. So,
absolutely. And the grains come from the earth. The grains are natural. See, even a lot of the flesh you eat, and this is going to sound crazy, but do your research. Animals like the chicken, animals like the cow, these are hybrid animals. The cow that you drink the milk from these days is acidic because it's not the original cow. I believe if you look it up, the original cow went extinct somewhere in the 1600s, and they crossbred, I think it was with the mule, they crossbred like that cow with the mule or something to get the cow we have today. Because that cow is a hybrid cow, it's not the original cow, it has an incomplete cellular structure, which makes it acidic. So when you drink milk from this hybridized cow, it's not even the real cow. You're not getting the real nutrition you would from a real cow back in the day before it went extinct. It's the same thing they do with dogs. You know how they crossbreed dogs all the time?
Yep.
And usually these crossbred dogs, mutts as they call them, have more health problems than a purebred dog.
Exactly. Right? Yep.
It's the same thing with cows and chickens. It's the same things with vegetables like broccoli or carrots. These are all hybrid fruits and vegetables, and these are hybrid animals. And when you consume something that is hybrid, it is lacking nutritionally, and you're it's going to hurt you more than it's going to help you, essentially.
And I mean, if you look at, for example, milk, dairy milk in America, they still allow, I believe, that RBGH, recombinant bovine hormone, to be injected into the cows so they produce more milk, which is a proven carcinogen. And it's they've done analysis of what's actually inside this milk. It's pasteurized, it's homogenized, it's denatured, and it's also full of like pus and blood and all the other stuff. It's just I don't know. It's crazy. I never liked dairy. I mean when I was a kid growing up, we had access to raw milk. And I must say that tasted really, really nice. But now it's like illegal to sell raw milk in in the West. You know what I mean? You can go to jail for that. So it's ridiculous. They just sell all these crappy dairy products for people to eat. And like you said before, it promotes just bad health. It actually, you can get calcium from milk, from dairy. You get it from fruits and vegetables. Broccoli has a lot of calcium. Oranges has calcium. I don't know if you know, but I actually consume coca leaf, which is South American plant that they make coke out of. And that has the most calcium out of any foods in the world. So if you look up the percentage of it, I can't exactly remember how much grams per ratio is, but it's insane. Like I've been using it for the last 3 years, and I haven't actually been to a dentist since 2010. So that's already almost 9 years. And my teeth are perfect. And yeah, it's really, really good for your gum health and teeth health as well. So, and yeah, coming back to how the whole our food supply has been changed and altered. Like if you look at the original watermelon, it looks nothing like that they have today. It was actually very small. It was kind of like almost looked like mutated type of fruit, because it's actually a berry, I believe, watermelon. So, and it had seeds. You know, you go to places, you go to places like Thailand, and you can buy watermelon that, and all their watermelons comes with seeds, because at least they try and stick to the natural side of food. And their bananas in Thailand, they have seeds, you know, you can bite on them. Yeah, like this big kind of hard seeds. So food in different countries like Southeast Asia is completely different to what we are fed in the West. Like you go to a supermarket in Australia and America, you get this same freaking cloned banana, which tastes crap. It's been, you know, hybridized, whatever. Just
And the like, thing is, man, the real bananas are small. Yep. If you Google like the real bananas, they're small. I eat the real bananas, so I know they're small. These giant bananas are hybridized, and you're right, they taste like shit because they're not natural. The small bananas are actually much sweeter.
Bro, you know? they're delicious. They taste like cream. Seriously, I remember we were in Thailand the first time, and we went around on this park where we were feeding elephants with bananas, and I'm like, dude, there's little bananas like tiny. So I tried one myself, and I'm like, holy moly, they taste so good. So I'm just like, yep. It's that's why I love Southeast Asia. There's so much variety of natural, real fruit that grows wild, and actually, and it costs so little. Like, you go to a supermarket in Australia, all the fruit, all the apples are green and sour, and they're not even ripe, and they've been gassed with some crap, so they they actually ripen quicker. It's completely unnatural. Like, our food supply is completely tainted. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you have to shop organic now. And the funny thing is, organic is just a man-made word. Organic just means natural before they tampered
with
it.
That's how it should be.
We should, yeah, exactly. It's how it should be. You shouldn't have to pay more to get what it was supposed to be. That doesn't make sense, you know?
Yep, exactly. Because now they spray everything, conventional fruit, which is basically sprayed with toxins, pesticides, and herbicides, and all the other crap. So, and that's... they do it because they don't actually give enough plant food to the actual fruit trees. So they have to spray it with these toxic petrochemicals because the actual tree itself doesn't have enough immunity to ward off the pests and other diseases. So because they only put like something like NPK, nitrogen, potassium, and something other into the soil for the, you know, for the tree to use. And it's not enough. You need like A to Z. In order to nurture this plant. So, yeah, our food supply has been sabotaged many, many years ago, and people just don't understand. And the other thing is, a lot of people, their food is always cooked, so not only are they not getting enough nutrition, but they also denature a lot of the proteins and vitamins. I mean, vitamin C can't survive in heat, so if you're boiling something or frying something, you're destroying vitamin C straight away, as long as and many other enzymes, because we need enzymes for optimal health as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, definitely. We were really, you got to understand, like I said, technology really has hurt us more than it helped us. We were meant to be eating raw food. Even the act of cooking is not natural.
Yep.
You know, it kills a lot of nutrition, especially when you fry something.
Yeah.
Even oils like olive oil is good for you, but when you heat up olive oil, it becomes acidic. Mm-hmm. It becomes acidic. Yeah. Rancid, so it's just, I don't know. It fascinates me how we were equipped with everything we need to get by, and somehow we ruined that and threw it out the window, seeking some other fantasy, you know, with technology. And I don't know. It seems to be doing much more harm than good. You know, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news. This guy, Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.
Oh, he's a scumbag, isn't he?
Yeah, well, the problem is, they're like, oh, Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world, and he's, you know, creating, oh, you can get packages straight to your door now with Amazon, and it's revolutionary, and it's technology, and it's the way of the future. The problem with that is you're running so many other mom-and-pop businesses out of business.
Exactly.
So, okay, great. Jeff Bezos is super rich, but guess what? Everyone else is starving. So now we have like a rich tyrant and a bunch of peasants. So how is this innovation? How is this progress when the masses are suffering and poor and starving and going out of business because assholes like Jeff Bezos are, you know, drop shipping and using drones and stuff? That's great for Jeff Bezos, but not everyone is eating as good as Jeff Bezos. So how is this progress really?
Oh, you know? Exactly. That's what corporations do. They push out the little man, and then we're left with these huge, gigantic Walmarts and you know, all those other corporations that essentially give us genetically modified food, which is absolute toxic crap. And it's our health declines, and then we are more reliant on medicines and doctors and... Doctors, I mean, themselves, they only get, literally like a day worth of nutrition advice, training.
Doctors are just modern day drug dealers, man. They're just glorified drug dealers. They're selling you their prescription drugs. So drugs have no nutrition. Anything that was made in a laboratory does not come from the earth. It does not have oxygen or electricity in it.
Yep.
When you go into your garden and you cut off a head of kale and you eat that kale after you cut it and eat it, it's green, right? It still has oxygen in it. It still has electricity in it. This oxidizes and electrifies your cells and creates life within you. How can a hard man-made pill that was made in a laboratory have any nutrition in it? You know? It can't. Exactly. It is a rock. You cannot get nutrition from a rock. Exactly. You need it from a plant.
It's a... I believe with the whole, you are what you eat. So whatever you put into your mouth becomes part of your body. So if you're, it's laughable when you hear doctors and other, you know, health advocates say that it doesn't matter. Like, it's when you eat like a Mars bar or a chocolate bar, it's all that sugar that you're eating. But what about the fat that's loaded in there as well? And it's one of the best ways to gain weight is to mix, for example, sugar and fats together, like ice cream, white bread, and some meat, you know, some pasta dish, and lots of meat as well on the side. I mean, like, one of the funniest things I've heard was when people say that potatoes make people fat, okay? And potatoes actually saved a lot of nations like Ireland from going, you know, from starving to death. And the other thing is, what people do is when they say, when they get a potato, okay, they get a potato, they put bacon on it, like bits of bacon.
And they butter.
Butter. They put lots of butter. They put lots of cheese. So, literally, if you look at the whole plate, potato will probably make up about 40% of it, and the rest is all fat and cheese and butter and bacon and all the other stuff. And then they eat and they say, oh, potatoes are fattening. What happened to what happened to just getting, you know, 10 potatoes and boiling them and making a potato mash and putting a little bit of, I don't know, soy milk or almond milk or whatever other milk you like except for dairy, adding it a bit of, you know, garlic in there and then some salt, some pepper. And that's it. If I can guarantee you, if you eat that whole thing by yourself and you keep eating it every day, you will not gain any weight. You'll actually feel great. There is there's actually a potato diet out there, and it's sworn by a lot of people. So you can find it on Google. If you Google a potato diet, this guy couldn't lose any weight, so he started just eating potatoes for I think it was like a year straight, and he ended up losing a bunch of weight. He felt great because What's good about potatoes is it's such a versatile dish. You can like bake it, you can mash it, you can fry it, whatever you like. I mean, obviously frying it every day is not a good thing, but yeah, you can cook it in different ways, like boiling it and steaming it, whatever. So baking it too. And yeah, it's a complete food. I mean, even if you juice potatoes, you can get you all your vitamin C and all the other vitamins as well, and enzymes too. So you can do so much. I mean, a lot of the nutrition in potato lies in the skin as well. So if you can juice that and drink the juice, your body is only going to thank you. You know what I mean? But like coming back to the thing, I mean, if you go to South America, they have something like a few dozen sorts of different natural potatoes. They can be purple, they can be orange, they can be all sorts of different colors. And when you go into a Western supermarket, they're all like brown.
Yeah.
it's hilarious, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, purple potatoes are really, really good for you. And in Okinawa, for example, they consume a lot of sweet potatoes, which is a really, really healthy alternative to potatoes too. So, because they're low GI and they provide a lot of good nutrition too. So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, those are some valid points, definitely.
Exactly. That's the thing. And I mean, a lot of, obviously, there's a lot of misconception about soy and tofu as well. Like, you know, the whole expression, he's a soy boy, all this kind of stuff. It's funny because most of the people that are linked to that are always like social justice warriors and, you know, all these cucks and whatever. But essentially, if you go to Asia, if you go to China, if you go to Japan, Malaysia, they consume a lot of tofu. And it's not just tempeh, which is fermented tofu, or natto, which is another form of stinky tofu. That stuff tastes horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have tried it?
I've tried. I'm not really a fan of tofu, honestly. From what my from what Dr. Sabi, the guy I listened to, says, he said tofu is man-made. Soy, in general, was made in a laboratory, and tofu actually contains plastic. These are his words, not mine. I haven't done the research on that, so I cannot say 100%, but from my experience, tofu has not really done anything for me health-wise. It just tastes like eating sludge or plastic. It doesn't seem to have any natural health benefits, in my opinion.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. It's the thing is, what they say is soy lowers your testosterone and basically makes you impotent and sterile, all that kind of stuff. But my question is, why Asians are breeding out of control? For example, in China, it's almost like 1.3 billion people, and in America, where they're eating so much, you know, healthy meat and testosterone promoting meat, they all need Viagra, and they you know, American population is actually going downhill, apart from the immigration, which is forced. So if skinny Asian people can make the most out of out of soy products, then that's pretty good. You know what I mean? It's good enough for me. I was watching this documentary from Japan about what makes them live so long. And it was basically, they were saying because they eat tofu every day and they make it fresh themselves. You know what I mean? You can actually see that grandpa and grandma, you know, whipping it up every morning and cooking it fresh. So, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, genetically modified soy is pure toxin. So, and that stuff actually gets fed to the cattle in America. So, which is funny, because if you're eating the cattle that ate GMO soy and other GMO products, then you're consuming GMO crap as well. So, that's something to think about as well.
Yeah. I mean, it goes even deeper than you think. If you want, I'll expand your mind even more. Although the Asians are more healthy than the Americans, they actually have a lot of problems themselves, because they eat a lot of white rice, which contains cyanide. I didn't know if you knew that, but that causes a lot of stomach cancer. That's why a lot of people in Asian culture have stomach cancer. See, I've done the research, and I'm starting to see that every race has significant health problems because they have flawed diets. The only group I've seen that actually has a healthy diet that creates no problems are these, like, old back in the day Africans from Africa that had an alkaline diet. Nothing but the best plants, nothing but the best berries and herbs. Everyone else, the Asians, the Americans, the Arabs, the Spanish, they all have problems. The Asians, for example, although they are leaps and bounds ahead of the Americans health-wise, they actually have a lot of problems themselves. Like I said, they eat a lot of white rice, which is an artificial starch that contains cyanide. And you can Google that. There's a whole article of how if you eat too much rice, you're very high risk of stomach cancer. Not to mention, they eat a lot of this raw fish, which has parasites in it, which rots their intestines as well. Not to mention, although a lot of Asians outlive Americans, take a look at an Asian. Most of them are incredibly frail, incredibly brittle. A lot of them have spinal problems from all of this man-made starch and seafood they're eating. So although they're outliving the Americans, they're pretty frail and brittle and actually robbed of nutrition themselves. It really fascinates me. I'm really starting to think they always used to say Africa was like the first continent, right? Africa was the very beginning where everything started in Africa and it branched out. And I never used to believe that. But when I started looking at the different diets that different cultures have, I started to believe it more and more. For example, I'm Middle Eastern, right? I'm Lebanese. We love to eat lamb in the Middle East. Now, Arabs have the most, they go blind quicker than anyone. They have the most eye problems of any other race, the Arabs, and it's because they eat a lot of lamb. Now, lamb is a very, very acidic meat. It will rob you of your vision very quickly. My mom ate a lot of lamb as a kid. She had to start wearing glasses by like age 15. She always knew better than to feed me the lamb because it robbed her of her vision at a very young age. So I'm starting to see that everyone, the Americans, the Spanish, for example, they eat a lot of rice and beans. Most rice, unless it's a natural grain like amaranth, spelt, quinoa, kamut, all of these other grains like brown rice, white rice, yellow rice, these have cyanide. These are unnatural starches. These were made in a laboratory. The only natural bean is the garbanzo bean. All of these red beans, black beans, these are man-made. They are missing. They're not complete on a cellular level. So when you eat them, they're doing more harm to you than good. You see what I'm saying? So I'm seeing that every, really, I'd say just about every race, every culture has an incomplete diet. Look at the Indians. I'm not talking about Native Americans. I'm talking about Indians from India. They eat a lot of cheese, a lot of butter, a lot of ghee.
A lot of
and
dairy.
These Indians, they smell horrible. They have incredible health problems. Most Indians are severely overweight. I think they have the most, kidney problems? Like they have to get dialysis and all kinds of stuff like that because of all of this ghee that they cook with. Everything just fried like crazy. So not really. Most races, if not all of them, except for a very small group of Africans who are on an alkaline vegan diet that is nothing but earth-made food, are not living naturally. And the thing is, like I said in the beginning of our call, there is a vegan and there is an alkaline vegan, which is the next level. And you're not taught about that. I wasn't taught about that as a kid. I thought rice was good for you. I thought all beans came from the earth. I thought all rice came from the earth. I never thought there would be something like a hybrid vegetable that was made in a laboratory. I thought a banana was a banana. I had no idea that the big banana is genetically modified and the little one is the only real one. But it goes so much deeper than you would think. Most rices, most starches are not real. Most sugars, cane sugar is not good for you. It is not man-made. The only natural sugars are sugars from a fruit. You know, things like agave, things like date sugar or date syrup. These are natural. Cane sugar and all of this, Splenda and stuff like that. It's poison. It'll accelerate your cancer cells. You know, ridiculous.
Exactly. It's interesting you were talking about the Indian diet, and I mean, a lot of them are vegetarians, but like you've mentioned, they consume, in India, they consume a lot of dairy products, like clarified butter, which is ghee. And
yes.
The problem with Indian food, even though it tastes, I actually like having it sometimes, it tastes really, really nice, but the problem is when you're eating Indian food, everything is cooked. There's literally no dishes in the Indian cuisine which are not cooked. You can't. I can't remember seeing a fresh bowl of salad at an Indian restaurant.
They rob it of its nutrients. And the thing is, man, when you're eating food like this, when you're eating this dairy, when you're eating this fried food, when you're eating these artificial starches, right? They're not the real grains like the ones I listed. They are man-made grains. Even whatever nutrients or minerals they claim to have, you got to understand, for your body to process food that is this unnatural, it takes more minerals out of you to process this food than the food gives you back in minerals. So if you drink a gallon of milk, it robs your bones of more calcium to process the milk than it does the milk giving you calcium.
Exactly.
I've been drinking this Irish sea moss, right? Nothing but minerals, nothing but nutrients in it. I can fall on my knees on concrete and not have any pain when I'm doing this. When I used to drink milk, which was robbing me of my minerals, robbing me of my nutrients, if I fell on my knees on concrete, I would break both of my knees. Because the milk that I've been drinking over the years has been slowly sapping my bones of the minerals that make them hard and strong. When I stopped drinking that milk, that acidic milk, and started consuming things like sea moss and raw foods that are nothing but nutrition with nothing where they don't take anything out of you, they only give. I can fall on my knees on concrete now and not have any pain. That's how you know your bones are hard and actually full of nutrition. You can't do that when you're drinking milk.
Exactly. I mean, milk is very acidic for people when they dairy milk because it.
Yes.
And what happens is when you eat acidic foods like meat, alcohol, dairy, and also certain types of grains, like you mentioned as well. what they do is they leach the calcium out of your body. So they leach calcium out of your bones, and because they have to buffer this acid which is inside your stomach.
Exactly. So exactly.
Otherwise, there'd be big problems. Yeah.
Right. And the reason your body does that is because your body naturally wants to stay at about a 7, I believe a 7 to a 7.4 on the alkaline pH level. So your body is meant to be alkaline. Your body does everything it can to stay alkaline. So when you eat acidic food, your body will try to keep you alkaline and push that acid out. Now, to push that acid out, it has to borrow those minerals from other parts of your body to help push that acid out to keep you alkaline. Yeah. So although it's keeping you alkaline, you are now much weaker and deprived of minerals you used to have before you ate that acidic food.
No, exactly right. I mean, and when your body is in a state of acidity, you're more prone to colds and flus and all the other different diseases. Because all those, like, I mean, we should cover this at another time. But like vaccines and cold and flu vaccines, they don't protect people at all. I mean,
they're useless.
Exactly. So, if you want to protect yourself from colds and flus, it all goes back to your diet. It's what you put into your mouth. So that's but we should definitely do another topic for that at another point in time. So I reckon this is a very great topic. So, I mean, we can definitely expand on a variety of other different topics within the nutrition itself. And I mean, it would be great if you guys who've been listening to us tonight or today or this morning can actually put your questions in the comments section and ask us what we want to discuss further, because this is seriously, without your health, guys, you are nothing. You can be you can be a multi-millionaire or a billionaire. If you have no health, if you're sick, you're not going to be wanting to do anything. You'll just be miserable and you want to actually depart from this planet a lot sooner than you have to.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. And, I mean, me and Itachi, we share a lot of similar interest in this field. It's just because I'm actually more passionate about health and nutrition than about MGTOW. You can't compare the two topics. It's very, very important. Like Itachi, you mentioned before that you can be this red pill, MGTOW, super duper, MGTOW as fuck.
Right.
If your health is going down the toilet, then you're going to be taxed in a major way, sometime down the track, because you don't want to get into your 40s or 50s and be suffering from a host of all these different autoimmune diseases like cancer, arthritis, gout, diabetes as well.
Right. And it's funny. It's one of the main reasons I started vegetarian, then I went vegan. I'm glad you brought up arthritis. I was developing arthritis in my wrists at 19 years old, eating meat. My wrists were flaring up. They were on fire. I couldn't form a fist after eating meat. It started when I was 19. By the time I turned 22, it was out of control. And I'm like, dude, if this is what I'm going through at 22, what am I going to be going through at 50? You know? So I started doing the vegan thing. I started cleaning up the diet. But when I saw how guys in MGTOW were so resistant to that, cleaning up their diet, I'm like, what's the point in protecting yourself in one aspect of life if you're going to neglect yourself in 4 to 5 other aspects of life? You might as well not even be MGTOW. You might as well have fun on the Blue Pill Plantation, because you're going to be dead at 50 anyway. So you might as well, you know, simp and get married and kiss ass and buy the house and all that, because you're going to be dead at 50 anyway, eating the way you do. So I don't know. I'm like, you know what? MGTOW is really just a very, very small first step. And most men in MGTOW are not willing to become anything beyond that. They want to do the very bare minimum to say, oh, I'm walking away. But you're really not. It's really not anything really beneficial in the long term by just saying I'm going my own way, but being a miserable piece of shit, eating shit, playing games, making society better. See, one of the main reasons I'm so passionate about this health stuff is because I'm realizing everything starts with the diet, right? Every sick thought you have in your head it starts from a messed up diet. So if you actually get men and women both eating right, if you actually get them on an alkaline vegan diet, yeah. men and women will start to sort out their problems in their own lives, and they will actually start to become healthy for each other. And then you're actually talking about creating a healthy civilization. Now, I'm not saying this will happen in my lifetime, and I'm not trying to change the world. But all I'm saying is, if everyone in their communities started eating right and started having clear, healthy thoughts, they could sort out all of their men and women problems. And then they could actually start creating healthy generations for the next generation and the next one. And then before you know it, you have an alkaline, healthy society of people functioning normally. And there's no dysfunction. But everything starts with the diet, you know. So I actually attribute a lot of the sick decisions. I remember when I used to eat meat, man, the meat used to make me want to have sex a lot. The hormones and the meat, I was always thinking about sex. Now, I still have a lot of testosterone. I can still get it up whenever I need to. But I don't have sex on my mind 24/7 like I used to when I was eating animal flesh. So maybe that's why so many men and women cheat on each other, because they're eating flesh. They're eating hormones of dead animals that are messing with their brain chemistry. And it's making them make decisions that they normally wouldn't have made and ruining their lives in the process.
That's so true, because I mean, you look at young girls these days, and 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds already have massive tits, and they're pretty
from
much
those McNuggets. Right, from those chemical McDonald's chicken nuggets they ate when they were a kid.
It's like when I was a little kid, 12-year-old girls were little girls. Now they're like women. It's just, what the hell's going on?
Exactly. So this whole horse blue pill society, a lot of it has to do with the diet. And when I saw how men in MGTOW didn't want to face that, I'm like, you know what? Most of you are just part of the problem then. You're not, you claim to be part of a solution, but if you don't, if you're too lazy to even fix your fucking diet, you're no better than a blue pill man to me, straight up.
Exactly. Listen, I have so many other topics I want to cover with you in our future health podcasts for yes. men that care and women. I mean, I welcome whoever wants to tune in and listen to us discuss these very important topics, because it's going to touch you at one point or another. You know what I mean? We all think we're bulletproof, especially when we're young, but trust me, it all catches up with you one day. Listen, let's wrap it up for the time being. It's been really awesome talking to you, Itachi. So
definitely,
let's see what our listeners have to say about our podcast tonight. So guys, if you have any questions or topics you want us to discuss about health in particular, definitely put it in the comments, and either myself or Itachi will touch base on it or discuss it in full details on our next health podcast. So guys, I will leave the links to Itachi's channel in the video description. Make sure you go check him out. He's got amazing content. Like, seriously, his stuff literally blew my mind away. And I've been into this MGTOW stuff for the last few years. Just he's one of the most exciting red pill guys, content creators out there.
So I appreciate that.
Yep. If you want to add anything to the outro, Itachi, before we sign off?
I want to say, what is it you used to say? Hit the bass, kitty. Let's go with that. Drop the bass, kitty. And cheers.
I got money in the bag.
Thanks for watching. Smash the like button, subscribe and bang the bell. And if you like my videos, support this channel via PayPal, Patreon, or buy crypto.
Drop the bass, kitty.